The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that means only one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. The Jersey Wrecking Crew is in the house, ready to talk to you about all that is professional wrestling. My tag team partner, Jeff Martin. I'm the trendsetter, Brian Berger. So excited to be on this week's episode with you guys. So much to talk about, so little time. I have a special interview that Jeff will talk about in just a second. But man, so much stuff's happened in the world of professional wrestling, Jeff. We had a huge major thing happen midweek. Finn Balor returned to NXT and returned with a huge impact. We'll talk about in a few seconds. Conor McGregor, another fellow Irishman, might be making a return to the Octagon very soon. And some telling words in terms of people want to talk about. Is there a war between AEW and WWE? We'll let you be the judge of that. Events that happened at a convention in Houston, Texas, which we will discuss as well in depth. But first, I have to introduce my tag team partner, Jeff. Jeff, it's been a crazy week so far, has it been, ever since we started doing this crazy podcast with you guys, the crew. And make sure, guys, you follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, at High Spot Podcast. You can follow all our shenanigans at HighSpotPodcast.com. We're also part of BodySlam.net. Make sure you also leave us a five-star review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We are on Spreaker, the Shining Wizards Network as well. All over YouTube as well as we start, you know, diving
and
into the world.
And iHeartRadio, too. I figured it out. We are on iHeartRadio as well.
Exactly. We're in all the places where you can get a podcast, especially YouTube, like I mentioned before. And you can also get my miniseries, Adventures of the Trendsetter, which I cover the world of the adult film entertainment industry. And new episodes will be coming up shortly. I know I say that all the time, but it will happen eventually, guys. But Jeff, I got to talk to you, man. How are you feeling? How are you doing right now? And what a crazy week it's been so far.
I can't match your excitement. So I won't even try.
Oh, this is it. I'm going full blown. I'm after
so
this,
you have
I'm dead.
You have taken the host reins and you have exceeded my expectations, trendsetter. And I'm just amazed at the energy that you bring. And hopefully, I can do a decent job matching it as we go over some certain topics that we're going to discuss here shortly. We got Tommy Fierro of 80s Wrestling Con,
yes.
2, which happens this Saturday in Freehold, New Jersey.
We will be
we'll
a part
be
of it.
We'll be there. Come say hi at our table.
Get a free t-shirt.
I'm coming up with 80s trivia questions so you can win a free HSP shirt. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm thinking of a couple of questions because we can give these out for free, but we want to work. We want you guys to have fun and work for it. And so that's why we are gonna think of some trivia questions for you guys.
No, definitely. It'll be exciting to see the events there. And, I mean, it'll be the first time you and I will go down there. This is the second time this convention's been a part of Freehold, New Jersey. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Also looking forward to seeing some members of the crew that are listening to the podcast. If you guys are going to be in that area, definitely come by. It'll be fun. And it'll be a nice little bit of reminiscing because, you know, we weren't theoretically born in the 80s, but we're during that time frame in the 90s where
– No, we were born in the 80s, but we kind of more lean towards – At least I do, mid-80s, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan.
But we don't relate to more, we relate more to the 90s.
The 90s, yeah.
Of course, we're born, I'm an old man now. But I'll be excited to do
born
that.
Born in the 80s!
And to be part of it, Jeff. But first thing I want to ask you right now, man, is like we witnessed, you know, it seems now every single week, guys, it's must-see television. You have Raw, if you can watch that 3 hours. You got Impact, which will eventually be on Access coming on Tuesdays. You have NXT, AEW. And then you have your ability of Friday Night SmackDown, and then, you know, whatever events are going on there, you can obviously stream New Japan, Ring of Honor, and things of that nature, MLW as well. So a lot of exciting content out there. Huge news happened on the internet with the fact that, you know, this whole Wednesday Night Wars, supposedly they're calling it, quote unquote, huge bang on NXT. Now, I have to be the first to admit that I haven't watched NXT that religiously like I did in the past. Mm-hmm. Now it's part of the USA Network. And, man, what a way. It was on the internet everywhere. You went on social media. Finn Balor made his return, his much-anticipated return to television, but came back to where he started it all in NXT and started with a bang. How did you feel the reaction when Finn Balor came out and did what he did to Johnny Gargano?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming at all. He did a good job in hiding that heel turn. Of course, he had been on his honeymoon, and he comes back refreshed, and I'm happy to see that. And the best part of it is, man, that I missed that heel Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. He did it so well in New Japan when he started the Bullet Club, and the real rock and roller is back, and even got attention from AJ Styles. You know, when he saw that as well, where, you know, you kind of like have so many ways you can go into this. You can have like maybe the OC coming into NXT. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, with the ratings being low, that they might inject more WWE superstars into the NXT fold. I say hold up on that.
Yeah.
Don't do that just yet. But,
well,
you know,
they're kind of doing that in a way now by bringing a guy like Finn, for example.
Yeah, but, you know, he's NXT. You know, yeah. He is NXT true and true, the longest reigning champion in NXT history. He comes back. I think it's home. And you know what? Again, though, it's refreshing. I cannot wait to see what he does now, you know, because he left the door open where he's not Undisputed Era. You know, and then, you know, he did help them out, though, and his attack was on Gargano, so we'll see what happens to that with that, but sign me up, man, Balor versus Gargano, then, of course, he's doing the bullet signs and the gun sign on Gargano, gave him that devastating, like, DDT right onto the ramp. Really, everything was great. I like this. It's refreshing. And he's in NXT. He'll have a lot of say in what he does going forward. And to be honest, that is the first time in 4 weeks that we're talking about NXT and not AEW, because we had on AEW a draw between Moxley and Pac.
It's a good match.
It's okay. I have no problem with it. They can get away with it because they're the cool hip thing to do. If WWE did that for you, I'm sure there'd be a lot of complaints.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, man. I'm on board. I have more confidence in the guys in NXT and what they're going to do compared to what heel turn by Balor would have done, you know, on the main roster.
Yeah, I think what's so exciting about it is that, you know, what you just mentioned. I mentioned you this in the car as we're, you know, going to our various jobs. And I was coming back home late, and Jeff, you know, nicely picked me up from a late night at work. But I told him that Jeff said it perfectly, refreshing. But I thought, you know, it's about damn time. Because when Finn Balor, Fergal Devitt, Prince Devitt, or whatever you want to call him, signed with WWE, we thought we were getting that version of him. It was definitely a different version. He was going more of the babyface role. He was very cookie-cutter. And it started to become really comedical and kind of like, just to me, now it feels like he has that creative freedom. And
just like that, he gained everything back to me with that Pele kick. It just, to me, and I know in the next coming weeks, that's why I'm excited. I know that we're going to get that Finn Balor. And in just 1 second, in like that 5 minutes there, I was like, wow, this is the Finn Balor that I wanted to see all along. And it drew me in. It got me.
And with that being said, I'm saying, right, how cool to be now they have this new version that we actually, not this new version, but this the real version we've wanted to see since he signed with WWE. How about we actually see Prince Devitt? We don't see Finn Balor anymore. I mean, I think that'd be a huge move. I know marketing and business standpoint doesn't make sense, but right now, if you're starting for a fresh look, something fresh, to bring back Prince Devitt to an extent would be amazing, I think, for the crowd. Obviously, you know, when we really look at it, Jeff, NXT is built more for the die hardcore fans. I know they're on the USA Network. They're now more for a general audience to see. They're not just on the WWE Network as well. So I know that would probably go into it. But I think right now he needs to kind of renounce and refresh himself again. You're right. Since he did the Pele kick, had a new look about him. The way he moved in the ring after he did that kick, just everything flowed. And again, that just brings me to, guys, the point I'm trying to make, where that creativity seems to have been lost a while from Finn Balor. He was kind of, I wouldn't say going through the motions, because he always gave it 110% every single time he came out. Went out there, especially when they were giving him, you know, chicken shit rather to make chicken salad with that. It was really difficult, but he did his best and lost a lot of his allure. Now I think it's back, like you're right, and I think right now what you need to do is just run on this and ride that tidal wave momentum, because there's so many possibilities, like you said, with the OC, AJ, Gallows, Anderson. You know, finally do something that we've wanted to see for the longest time with the original members of the Bullet Club to be united again along with AJ Styles. Would be great to see in NXT or WWE, whichever one, because the door is still open. He is part of NXT, but we've seen the scenario now where, you know, NXT superstars, unlike, you know, the wild card rule before, could actually go back and forth from the roster.
Yeah, I think getting the Prince Devitt will be too much of a stretch, although I will never say never. But right now, for marketing purposes, I think that, you know, Finn Balor is fine.
Yeah, but I think if Finn Balor, his creative mind would probably be like, I don't want anything to do with Finn Balor
anymore. I get it,
anymore.
But I'm just saying right now, I'm though, a the heel marketing now, machine.
I don't want to market myself as a heel. I mean, hey, there are a lot of heels that didn't want to market themselves for merchandise, and it worked out well for them. One example is the AEW champion. Let me finish, Jeff.
I just think because Finn Balor, they own the name, and I think that's what they're going to do. I think it would be, you know, they just wouldn't go to Prince Devitt. But like I said, never say never. And then, to me, Bullet Club will never be as cool in WWE because it just can't be. They won't be allowed to. So I'd rather see Finn do his own thing, but I would not mind seeing the OC somehow get mixed in eventually. But right now, I think we can both agree on that this Finn Balor, I cannot wait to see what happens down the road in NXT. And I might actually open up with next week NXT rather than AEW on my channel, because for the last few weeks, AEW has been the main thing on my TV.
Well, like you said, it's the newest thing. It's the cool thing to watch right now. And yeah, I think the WWE has done a great job, especially let's talk about identify it with just NXT now, though it is part of the WWE umbrella. Yeah, they've done a great job of allowing now you to have that anticipation, oh, what's going to happen next week. And like I said, I'm just excited for the mere fact that this is a brand, Jeff, that you and I have watched since the very beginning. We've seen it in its various stages, when it was a contest before for younger talent to come in, to what it was when it was put on the network at Full Sail, to where it is now, where now it's touring, and it's on national television or a huge network like USA. So yeah, it's great to see that, and now the buzz to be around that, because I think, you know, WWE dropped the ball, in my opinion, a lot with Finn Balor, and now there's a possibility of maybe possibly resurrecting it, because at the end of the day, Jeff, you look at AJ Styles, you look at Gallus, you look at Anderson, we don't know what they're going to do in terms of what their contracts is. Situation is.
Well, they're there for 5 years, at least. They re-signed, Gallows and Anderson re-signed.
Okay.
AJ is re-signed at least 3 years. So, you know, I'm kind of tired of seeing AJ in that mid-card thing. I think he's been in that, you know, because, you know, whether he's okay with that, that's fine. You know where he deserves to be. He deserves to be main eventing on Raw. But, you know, this right now, I think... could we see the OC eventually? Yes, but right now I'm just focused on Finn. Let him do his thing. And again, just very excited about it, man. What can I say? Just extremely looking forward to next week. All right, Trendsetter, so as we await what happens with Finn Balor in the next coming weeks on NXT, let's talk about something that we just found out, and that is Conor McGregor is returning to the Octagon for UFC on January 18th in Vegas. No opponent yet is determined, but, you know, talk about a guy that's been MIA from the UFC. What impact do you think that has not only on MMA, but also on WWE?
Well, if you ask my opinion right now, with Conor McGregor, don't believe until it actually happens. He's talked about certain matches he's won, and he's talked about certain things he's wanted to do. And unlike before early on, Jeff, I feel like the allure of Conor McGregor's kind of died down a little bit. He is still known as one of those tough SOBs out there. You know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Conor McGregor. People might not like his shtick or the way he acts, but you know what? The guy, regardless of his last two occurrences where he lost to Floyd Mayweather and he got, in people's eyes, manhandled by Khabib, I already saw that fight. Obviously, it wasn't Conor's best performance, but again, he put in an effort and at the end eventually tapped out and couldn't take any more punishment from Khabib. I think right now there will be excitement, but not as much as there once was before, because he had a huge tidal wave of momentum after the Floyd fight that he could have continued on. But again, a lot of people have said when you have all that money in the bank right now, maybe your desire to go out there and fight anymore, and I can't speak for Conor, I'm just speaking for myself, maybe that desire anymore is not as, you're not as driven because you're not fighting for that dollar anymore. You have it in your bank account. He has a family now, he has a son, so it's exciting to see it, but we've heard it before where he's been planning for something and then the UFC and him just don't come to terms. He's retired several times now, so you just don't know. So as excited as I am to hear the news that Conor will be coming back, and I didn't think he really was retiring, he was just waiting for his moment. The thing is, he isn't getting any younger, and the thing with mixed martial arts, Jeff, that you and I have talked about before, is that it evolves. It continually goes. And Conor had his window where I think he was one of the best in his division as he moved up to weight class. But the issue now is that when you have wrestlers and people who are now well-versed and well-rounded, you can't simply be a striker. And there are other elements of Conor's game that we haven't seen him ever use. So is he up to par? He's been training, but there's a difference between training on your own with your team and actually being in fights with people of that same high caliber echelon of talent. So it's going to be exciting to see a fellow Irishman freshman, and we talked about Finn Balor earlier on, talking about Connor. I'm going to wait and see, but a lot of big money fights have been kind of taken out of the way. George St. Pierre, he wants the rematch with Khabib. A lot of people think he should because he's going to get manhandled again. So it ruins his brand. It ruins his allure. So I don't know who the opponent's going to be, but whoever it is, this will be, in my opinion, a must-win for Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he mentions also interest in Hollywood and WWE. He said, I've had a little bit of beef with those guys over the years, so you never know. Another door open for another MMA fighter. And
that's going to be the norm, in my opinion, nowadays. Yeah. Because most people, like, for example, when you're done with football, a lot of, you know, past football athletes transfer over to sports entertainment or wrestling. And I think the MMA fighter, in terms of when you look at, you know, Ken Shamrock at Bound for Glory against Moose, he looked really good. I mean, I won't say match quality-wise, but he looked good, and he was kind of one of the pioneers, in my opinion, of mixed martial arts. You have Kurt Angle, an Olympic-style wrestler. Then you have Ronda Rousey. You have Brock Lesnar. You have now Cain Velasquez, who's put his foot in the door of WWE. I think this is going to be now an occurrence too, and there's even been rumors that Daniel Cormier has always been interested, once his career is over in mixed martial arts, that he wants to kind of probably dive into the world of professional wrestling. So I think that it's a blend of entertainment and a blend of athleticism that I think combined very well.
That's the guy that I can't wait till he makes that crossover, because I think...
What guy, Daniel Cormier?
No. Oh. Not Daniel. Ugh, no. McGregor.
What? Okay.
I think that... it's inevitable, and I think that I cannot wait to see how WWE tries to rein him in, because that guy, try censoring that guy when he talks. And we were talking about it last year too, that the only guy I think he could actually, you know, have a match with, you know, if it was one-on-one, would have been Enzo. And that would have been the perfect back and forth. And you have two guys that are, you know, same stature, same build, kind of, where you would think, okay, and trust me, their mic skills, I would have put my money down right there, you know? So I cannot wait to see Conor. He's going to be money, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
He could main event, and that's how good he is, how marketable he is. He could main event WrestleMania or whatever they want to do. Crown Jewel, maybe.
Let's not talk about Crown Jewel. We're having a great show right now. Let's not talk about Crown Jewel.
We will talk about it, though, next week.
It's not damper now, though. That's for next week.
So, you know, Cain Velasquez has done some wrestling. Ronda has, you know, had a great year last year. So, you know, of course, Daniel Cormier always has ties with WWE. But Conor McGregor, though, is the one I'm most excited about when it happens. Not if, but when, because to me, that is going to be something that is going to be a money-making, media craze thing, because he is just going to draw eyes. Yeah. And that's definitely something that you want to see on Friday nights. And, you know, I just can't wait, you know, with Conor McGregor, though he does have to obviously win here, because I don't know really if it takes a shot in his WWE career if he loses here.
I don't think it does.
But
in his MMA career, does.
Yeah, you would love for him to come, you know, into the WWE with a win streak and get that notorious, that bad boy image again, though. Although, you know what, he will draw you in with his mic skills to whatever match you have. But I really would have thought that, you know, Enzo would have been the right guy. I don't know. Do you see anybody else who could, you know, have a battle with Conor?
Well, real quick to your point, though, Jeff, let's backtrack just a little bit here, though. When you're talking about, you know, certain individuals, you know, me talking about how his next fight come January 18th, if it does happen in Las Vegas, whoever his opponent is, I mean, there have been rumors that might be Frankie Edgar, because those rumor mills have been going on. Frankie Edgar's always wanted a match with Conor McGregor. Will it bank a lot of money? I don't know. But again, that's a rumor that's been going on there. But let's go backtrack on this, though. We talked about individuals that have transferred over to WWE. Let's talk about Floyd Mayweather, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people could debate, although he's undefeated, you know, a lot of the quality opponents he had during his career before he kind of semi-retired and came back were not the best of opponents, or maybe necessarily past their prime. Let's look at Ronda Rousey. Came off two dramatically devastating losses that kind of destroyed a lot of her lore in MMA. But when it transferred over to WWE, she was one of the baddest women on the planet type of mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think even if Conor loses his next fight, I don't think it hurts him theoretically in the ring because his star power, his appeal to the general audience will still be there. For example, Brock Lesnar, too. I mean, he got destroyed by Cain Velasquez, still came back and was the beast and still dominated everything. And now they'll integrate that storyline between him and Cain Velasquez. And unfortunately, now I have to mention at Crown Jewel because I have to promote it. But in terms of Conor, you talked about how Enzo probably the best pairing for him when Enzo is still part of WWE. But again, just go to look at Floyd, how small he was in stature, and was it believable he was going up against Big Show at WrestleMania? So I don't think it really matters the individual because, you know, a lot of people have said when you have these kind of special, you know, matches that are more of like extravaganzas than anything.
Attractions.
It doesn't really matter the quality of the match it's going to be. It's just the build-up itself. And I think Conor will do a great job in his own allure and his own ability of speaking and promoting himself. Granted, a few F-bombs are going to have to be taken out of his speech. But
good luck with that.
Good luck with that or, you know, have that delay on really really quick though, but I think it'll be enough for him to be still somewhat successful in that, or when he does eventually move on to Hollywood, because I'm sure if he does go to WWE, it'll be more of a part-time basis or more of just a special attraction, a one-off in a sense, or maybe a 2 or 3 fight deal. And who can work with him? I think anybody. I would love to see him against an AJ Styles or even a Finn Balor, you know, some fellow Irishman, or even Sheamus if he decides to come back to wrestle. I don't know what the status is on Sheamus, but again, that would be kind of cool too.
Yeah.
Or even a Roman Reigns, you know, or John Cena. He's talked about John Cena. John Cena, Conor McGregor, that would just sell tickets on just the billing alone of seeing that in the title page of this is what's going to happen at WrestleMania. You would see that too, and I'm sure those individuals, despite what their feelings are on Conor, would know this makes money and they would take care of him.
Yeah, he'll be making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Make a lot of that green money right there. And that's all that matters. In terms of business, it's all about business. And that's good business if you're Conor McGregor and WWE.
You make these segues way too easy, Trendsetter. All about
that's
business.
That's my job.
Tommy Fierro of 80s Wrestling Con 2 joins us here on the High Spot Podcast. It is this Saturday in Freehold, New Jersey. I Play America. Catch Sergeant Slaughter, Million Dollar Man, you know, all those 80s wrestling superstars that you grew up with will be there, and so will the High Spot Podcast. Me and the Trendsetter will be there. Come say hello. But we got to know the man, Tommy Fierro, on this week's episode, and here is the interview as he joins the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter Man, another great interview coming up right now. 80s Wrestling Con 2 happens October 26th. I Play America, Freehold, New Jersey. Joining us now is promoter of the event, Tommy Fierro. Tommy, what is going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for having me.
So, listen, man, exciting times. We're almost there. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. How you feeling, man? How's everything going? Are you nervous? Do you get nervous anymore? What's the mindset heading into this?
I'm so stressed out right now. I'm banging my head up against the walls. The last couple weeks is just chaotic. There's so much work and time and energy and just the little tedious things that go into putting together a convention. There's just so many small little details. And, I mean, it's always busy with constantly, you know, promoting it on various different social media platforms, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram with various different, you know, wrestling accounts or doing it yourself on your own and then doing ticket orders and, you know, advertising it. I'm a one-man show. I'm crazy. I do everything by myself for the convention, so it's just so much work from, you know, the airline tickets to booking the hotels, to booking the, you know, the trans to get people to and from the event. So, you know, I'm doing everything right now by myself. And as crazy as it sounds, I enjoy it in some weird way, and I wouldn't want it any other way. But, yeah, the last few weeks, man, are just chaotic. And it actually feels good to actually talk about it right now than doing stuff for it.
Well, that's what we're here for. We're here for therapy, you know, here for to let you talk about it.
We're your couch right now, so we're your couch, so just sit down. Yeah.
You definitely need it, though. I mean, you talked about all the things you're responsible for. I think a lot of people understand. We've had the pleasure of having a lot of promoters on the show as well and talking to them about the intricacies that a lot of people don't know about, the behind-the-scenes stuff. People go to the event, they think, it's a show, it's all set up, cool, it's easy. A lot goes into it. What's been the hard – I mean, it's hard to pinpoint because you're doing it all, obviously. But what's been the most difficult thing that maybe you didn't look at or think was going to be as difficult when you anticipated doing this?
I mean – I've been doing conventions since I've been 16 years old. So, I mean, I kind of got the hang of it by now. The rough part is, I would say, the transfer, to get the people to and from the hotel, to the airport and back from the building to the airport. I mean, you're dealing with 15 different talents. So you're dealing with 15 different airlines. You're dealing with 15 different times that the talent comes. Then you're dealing with 15 different pickups from the airport to the hotel. Then the next day, the day of, you're dealing with 15 people from the hotel and getting them to the facility. And then from the facility, 15 guys are getting back to the airport. So, I mean, I think that's the hardest part, is when you have this many talents on it, just getting them all to and from everywhere is probably the most challenging part, especially when they come in all different times, which they do, and depart different times. That's probably the biggest challenge. Last one was even more crazy. The one back in April, we had 20 guys. So imagine 20 guys, picking them up and getting them to the hotel, and then getting from the hotel to the building, and then from the building back to the airport. And just, that's probably the most chaotic part about it. I'll be happy when it's over. Just because it's so, that's the part that's really like, it really is a huge headache. But hoping it all pans out as it did last time.
So you say that now, but you have a sound in your voice like you can't wait till it's all over, but then you're going to be anticipating the next one that's going to happen.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm sick, I probably will, man. but that's probably the most challenging part. Just when you're dealing with that many different people. And like I said, I do this by myself. So it ain't like, I have a... I have a department WWE does, where they book all the airline tickets and get people to and from places. Like, I'm doing everything on my own. So on top of all the other things that every other day things that you're doing to prepare for the convention, you have to worry about that as well. So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot, man. It's a lot.
So, Tommy, obviously, the first one was very successful. When did you realize that we needed number two?
There was a point in the show, and this was my first convention I did in a real long time. This is the first time, the one back in April was the first time I did something in wrestling in 9 years.
Yeah.
I used to run wrestling shows all the time, whether it be, independent shows or conventions. I was always involved with it. And I stepped away for a while. So the one back in April was my first event in 9 years. And I would say probably halfway through it, just because there's so much hard work that goes into it, especially when you're doing it on your own. And I think that at one point, halfway through the convention, and you guys will see, because you'll be down there next week, there's big screen TVs, big, I won't call them TVs, projectors. And they're just playing a loop of videos of all the different guys that are appearing there that day. So I see these big projectors playing loops of the guys that have there. I just saw like a sea of people, man. I actually got choked up, because, and right then and there, I'm like, I have to do another one. The plan was just to do one. I had no idea that it was something I would do again. I thought it was a one-time thing, but with the last one being successful, I had to do another one.
Now, the 80s Wrestling Con, is that like your genre? Is that your favorite time in the wrestling game, the 80s?
Oh, absolutely, man. That's when I grew up. I'm 42, so I grew up on it, man. My parents, when I was a kid, I'm a Jersey boy like you guys. When I was a kid, my parents would take me to the Meadowlands Arena every month to see it. Back then, it was every month. It wasn't twice a year like it was now.
What was the first match you saw in the Meadowlands Arena, real quick?
What's that?
What was the first match you saw in the Meadowlands Arena?
I don't know the first match. I believe...
Jeff knows it to a T. Jeff knows his very first match he saw.
Yeah, I remember. It's funny, because I remember the Killer Bees being there, which is funny, because they're on my show next week. And I remember I made a sign for the Killer Bees, but I messed up and put, instead of putting B. Brian, I put B. Brain. I spelled it wrong. So I remember that being the first time I went to wrestling. I know the Killer Bees were on it. Now I got to tell Brian that story next week when he's at the show. But I'll get a kick out of that. But I would go every month, man. I would go every month. I remember, you know, Hogan would be there every month wrestling, and Savage and Andre. And, I mean, and all these guys that are on these conventions were there. And, you know, I grew up watching as a kid. So, I mean, it's still, even though I've been involved in wrestling for so long, it's still really, really cool when you sit back and think about it that when, you know, I was a kid sitting in the crowd watching all these guys wrestle and collecting their action figures and their T-shirts and their posters. You know, if you would have told me as a little kid that, you know, 30 years later, I'd be, you know, promoting events with these guys on it, I, you know, I never would have believed in a million years. So, you know, if you ever just stop and think about it, it's pretty fascinating, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are going to think about these conventions and, like, the, you know, the millennials are going to think about, oh, StarCast. They're going to think about WrestleCon during WrestleMania weekend. But you've been doing this. You know, you've been doing this since the late 90s, and, you know, no one else was doing this at the time, and you're kind of maybe like the one who started this. Just talk about that and what gave you the idea of why something like this would work.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you saying that because that is, in fact, well, it's partly true. I got the idea from John Arezzi. John Arezzi ran them in the early 90s in New York, and I was just a fan. I went to his and was blown away by it. You know, you walk into this event, you know, and you're just a wrestling fan, you're like a kid on Christmas morning, man. There's, you know, tables all over selling wrestling merchandise and wrestlers signing autographs and taking pictures. I was just absolutely blown away by it. So, you know, one thing led to another, and I got involved with the wrestling business. I did my first one when I was 16, and I had like 200 people there. It was nothing like John's convention, but I was like either a sophomore or junior in high school. And did my first one, and I did some more after that, and then it got really popular, like in the early 2000s. I called them Fan Slam back then, and they were real good. And then I did my biggest one ever was it was actually the day before WrestleMania 20. WrestleMania 20 was at Madison Square Garden, and I did a tribute to WrestleMania 1 the day before WrestleMania 20. We had like 18 of the guys from the first WrestleMania there. And that was really, really good. That was my favorite convention I ever did. So, and from there, it blew up where all these different people just started running wrestling conventions. One of the big ones was the NWA Fan Fest out in North Carolina. Greg Christ ran them. And he actually gives me credit for getting him inspired to start doing them.
Yeah, I mean, because now you go everywhere now, and there's that, like, the nostalgia factor. We know wrestling fans are loyal to a T, so they love, you know, getting up close and personal with the wrestling stars and everything like that. So, you know, you took some time off. What led you to taking some time off? And of course, you know, last April was you came back with the wrestling con. So what happened in between there? Where did life take you, and what made you get back?
Well, I was doing independent shows till about 2010. Then I got married, then I took a break from it.
Ah, there you go.
And and I did other things. And, you know, I actually right now I'm the marketing director for a big restaurant. So I do that full time as my regular job. And just for fun, I started doing a wrestling social media page called 80s Wrestling. I'm still a huge fan, just to be feel like I'm still a part of it in some way, shape, or form. And I started doing it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and just for fun, just posting 80s pictures. And it got really popular to the point where The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, Ronda Rousey, Randy Orton, Chris Jericho, all these different people started following it. And now, like on Instagram, I have like 120-something thousand followers. On Twitter, I have like close to, I think, 55,000. On Facebook, I have over 100,000. So I'm sitting there looking at this following I have. I'm like, well, I'd be absolutely, excuse my language, stupid as shit if I didn't capitalize on this and do something with it, you know? So I'm like, a light bulb went off my head. Wow, let's do an 80s wrestling convention since I'm running 80s wrestling social media account. So that's what led to that. And that's what led to the one back in April. And it was, like I said, it was supposed to be a one-time deal. And when I saw that it was supposed to be a nostalgia convention, you know? And then I saw the response to it. I'm like, whoa, there's enough guys out here to do another one. So right then and there, like I said, midway through the first one, I knew I was doing another one.
Yeah, there's no doubt in your mind. Obviously, there's no doubt in the people that had probably attended there hoping that there was going to be another one, and it's definitely happening now, so people are anticipating for that, though. But you see, you touched on a point, though, that was really interesting, too. I mean, talked about, you know, in 80s vans when Jeff mentioned the millennials and how the wrestling business has changed dramatically since the days you and I watched it, man, to where it is now. And a lot of it has to do with what you spoke about, too, when you said you're promoting this and you're doing basically everything yourself, social media. A lot of people don't understand it. We've spoken to several talent on the show, and they've talked about how they've used it to promote themselves and to kind of develop their brand when they have really nothing out there, and then kind of exchange content that way. How vital has social media been in the extent for you now? Because when you really look at it now, you don't really need advertisers anymore. You can basically be your own advertising because you have such a tremendous following. So how impactful has social media been for you, especially now? How impactful has it been in the wrestling business?
Gigantic. I mean, absolutely huge. Back then, I wish there was social media back then to promote. You know, here's the thing, that you just can't rely on putting something on Facebook and hoping people, you know, and think that all these people are going to show up. I think that's the difference between me as a promoter and other people. You just can't use social media, and that's it. That can't be the only platform you use to promote an event, because you know, my thing I always say is, you can have Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels in a rematch with Vince McMahon as the referee, but if people don't know about it, no one's coming to it. So, I mean, there's a lot of other things to do to promote an event other than just put it on your social media. I'm not going to give away the tricks of the trade, but you know, you just can't just rely on social media. But yeah, it's been an absolutely huge part of the advertising campaign going into last one and this one. Absolutely.
So let's talk about this one, Tommy, man. I mean, there's a buzz, definitely. I'm sure there's going to be a boatload of people coming into this. And let's talk about the events, man. You got an 80s costume party with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. You got a tag team panel with Demolition and Killer Bees. Let's just talk about those two first, man. That, to me, is worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, thank you, man. So, yeah, it's going to be an 80s Halloween wrestling costume contest. Come dressed as an 80s wrestler, and we're going to select probably like 10 people or so, get them on stage, and then the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, is going to go up there, pick a winner, and actually give the winner $100. So imagine being a kid watching Million Dollar Man, and someone told you, you know what, 30 years from now, you have an opportunity for the Million Dollar Man to give you $100. We'd never believe it. It's a dream come true. So I just, and the same thing like with Killer Bees and Demolition doing a tag team panel talking about 80s WWF. I'm trying to make it more of an experience than a convention. You know, everyone and their mother's doing conventions nowadays. So I'm trying to stand out and be different, not just signing autographs and taking pictures, but making it more fan interactive, more of an experience, more of a fan festival. So like I said, we're doing the Halloween costume contest. We're doing the tag team panel. We're doing Bob Backlund Live with Donna Resi, my mentor, interviewing him. We have Sergeant Slaughter doing a push-up challenge, so you maggots better be in shape come next Saturday in Freehold, New Jersey. We have an 80s wrestling trivia contest, so you boys better brush it up on your trivia by next Saturday.
Oh yeah, brother.
80s wrestling karaoke. So if you want to sing Honky Tonk Man or I'm a Real American, you better gargle some garlic the night before. Get your voices nice and clear. So yeah, we're just doing a ton of different things, trying to make it just different. You know, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to say I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of wrestling, because I am a big wrestling fan myself, but I stepped out of being the promoter for a second, and I looked at the whole picture. What would I want to see at this event? What would draw me as an 80s wrestling fan to come there and spend my hard-earned money? So I tried to come up with some cool things, and I think they are cool things, and just trying to make it as different as possible. Like the last one in April, we had Coco Beware sing Pile Driver live on stage. We had Greg the Hammer Valentine do a figure four challenge where fans figure four each other and he picked the winner. Just like different things to stand out and stay on top of the curve from what everyone else is doing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, Virgil, Sergeant Slaughter, Brutus Beefcake, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, Haku, Bob Backlund, Demolition, The Killer Bees, Marty Jannetty, and so and much more. And you also have, I think you posted on Facebook, and we kind of put it out on bodyslam.net, Enzo Amore will be there?
Yeah, we have some vendor guests, too. Enzo's going to be there. Obviously, he has some jokes people on social media while he was born in the 80s, or his match at WrestleMania 4 was great. They're not my guests. It's a vendor guest. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be from 1980s just to be there. Yeah, I'm sure Enzo grew up a fan watching it, too. He's going to be there. Tito Santana is going to be there. Tatanka is going to be there. The original 80s Glow Girls, Hollywood and Aroha Hawaiian are going to be there. And Francine from ECW is going to be there as well. So on top of our guests, we have some vendor guests. And just tons of merchandise tables. People selling all kinds of different wrestling merchandise from all over. Nerds Clothing, who does shirts for WWE, jackets for WWE and AEW, they're going to be there. RF Video is going to be there. Pro Wrestling World is going to be there. So, I mean, there's going to be a ton of vendors on top of everything else, of all the events and activities. So there'll be a ton of wrestling memorabilia, shirts, action figures, and what have you that'll be available as well.
Is it your opinion, if I get my mic's working, is it your opinion right now that this is probably the best time in the world, not only is from a promoter standpoint, although you're going crazy doing a million things on your own, it's probably one of the best times at all to be a wrestling fan, because we look, you know, Jeff and I talk about the glory days for us, you know, the 80s were cool, but then you had the Monday Night Wars, WCW pit against WWE, the whole attitude shift of what professional wrestling was seen at that time. And now you have the situations where you have various promotions all over the world. Talked about AEW, but you also talked about Impact, New Japan, Ring of Honor, MLW, just to name a few. But it seems like there's so much more content out there, and that the wrestling fans become so much more knowledgeable in terms of their just things outside. No disrespect to WWE. It's always going to be the machine. It's always going to be the standard bearer at this point, at least. Do you think it's just the best time right now for a fan right now, and especially when you look at conventions that are held in certain areas and also the independent scene, just a great time to be a wrestling fan and be a part of this industry?
It's an unbelievable time to be a wrestling fan. There's so many different choices, and not just for the fans. It's a great time to be a professional wrestler in the wrestling business, because I mean, there's so many different opportunities and so many places to go to make money. Like the other day, I was just this morning, I was reading on the internet how what's his name from WWE gave his notice, Mike Bennett.
Yep.
So here you go. He just re-signed that thing back in the summertime. Probably got a decent size, you know, guarantee. You know, he has a wife, he has a kid. But now the landscape of wrestling is so different that someone like him knows there's so many opportunities out there. I'm sure AEW would pick him up in a second. I'm sure he can go back to Ring of Honor. I'm sure he can go to Japan. I'm sure he can go to TNA. So, I mean, there's options out there where, you know, 10 years ago there wasn't really any options. So, yeah, man, not just for wrestling fans. It's a great time for wrestlers to be part of the industry. It's exciting, man. I don't think there'll ever be another time like the Monday Night Wars. And I feel bad for the fans that wasn't able to experience that live like we were. But I mean, yeah, man, it's a great time. I feel like the business is definitely picking up. I think it's a great time to be a fan and a wrestler.
80s Wrestling Con 2, October the 26th, I Play America, Freehold, New Jersey. You go to 80swrestlingcon.com and follow on Twitter at 80swrestling. And you can go for general admission tickets to the I Play America website. Tommy, how vital has your partnership with I Play America been? This is my first time being there. I heard great things about it.
Oh, they're awesome, man. It's like, picture, you guys are Jersey boys, so you'll know what I'm saying, but maybe some people out there listening won't. Picture down the shore boardwalk inside. Mm-hmm. It's and they actually have a boardwalk in there. So it's rides, it's games, it's food, it's fun. It's just a gigantic indoor boardwalk. It's awesome. And yeah, man, it's a great place to have an event there. The 80s Wrestling Con is actually in a big warehouse section of it. So picture like a big department store like Kohl's, empty with nothing in it. It's that big, the space that we're in. So even if we have a great crowd, it still might not look like it because the place is so gigantic. But just it's a huge building, and and they do WWE signings all the time there. So they have a built-in WWE fan base already, which is awesome for us as well. This year alone, I know Braun was there. The Iconics were there. Every couple months or so, they do the New Day was just here a couple weeks ago. So every couple months, they bring in WWE guys as well. So we have that built-in WWE following there. So that definitely helps us out as well, because they advertise our event while those guys are there. So yeah, man, it's a great partnership. They're great people, and we're happy to be there.
You know, Tommy, we're in October already. Can you believe it? Only 2 months till the
end. I'm seeing Christmas carols already, my brother.
I know. I'm seeing Christmas trees at department stores. I'm like, what the heck? Can we do, Halloween first here? But, almost towards the end of the year, and I want to ask you too, because you're in the podcast game too. You've got your own 80s Wrestling Talk podcast that you do too, and it's a very good show. And again, if you're a fan of 80s wrestling, these guys break it down for you. They do little genres. They talk about topics and stuff like that. So definitely check them out on Block Talk Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've been so busy. I haven't even been able to do it in like the last month. I feel horrible, but I just don't have enough time in the day to do between my regular job and doing this and having a 3-year-old daughter at home, man, it's impossible to juggle that much.
Yeah, man. And so the question for you is, since we're almost, to a close in 2019, and hope to get you on before that, but if we don't, what to you has been the big story so far in pro wrestling?
2019?
Yeah.
I would say, no question, WWE going to Channel 5, Fox.
Yeah.
I'm saying Channel 5 was here in Jersey, but WWE going to Fox, man, that's major league. That's big time. That's unbelievable. I know the ratings this past week, Evan, weren't good compared to the first week. I mean, it's only 2 weeks. You really can't go by it. But I think that's probably by far the biggest story of the year. I think with that also, AEW getting a national TV deal, competing with WWE, I'm sorry, I forgot about that before I talked about the Fox deal. I still think the Fox deal is bigger, though, for the business, because if wrestling gets hot again to a boom period, we're on, broadcast TV. But, AEW story is gigantic. Them going heads up with WWE. Just the business itself getting hot again. It's like you said earlier, man, it's been an awesome year for the wrestling business. And I'm sure that a story will come out from now to the end of the year that might be bigger than what we're talking about right now.
Tommy Fierro joining us here on the High Spot Podcast on BodySlam.net. So here you go, Tommy. Here's your chance to plug away, as we're just even less than 2 weeks before the big show here, 80swrestling.com, 80swrestling.com, 80swrestlingcon 2. Plug away, my man.
I said everything I need to say. I spoke from the heart. So if I didn't sell the convention by this point, I'm going to sell it. But it's October 26th, Saturday morning in Freehold, New Jersey. I Play America 80s Wrestling Con 2. Sergeant Slaughter, The Million Dollar Man, Teddy DiBiase, Bob Backlund, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, Demolition, Brutus Beefcake, a host of other guys, all those different activities we talked about. If you're a fan of 80s wrestling, if you're a fan of current wrestling, or if you're just a wrestling fan in general, and you live anywhere within driving distance, definitely come out. I promise you. Promise you. I can't say promise you enough. You will not be disappointed.
He guarantees it, most likely, Joe.
He guarantees you. Spoiler alert, it's going to be a great time.
Exactly. Spoiler Tommy, alert. And one more thing for me, too, it's that with situations like this, I always tend to ask either promoter or talent, they're always building up for something very large, historic, you might say, because this is something that you're putting your heart and soul into, and you want to obviously have a good case of people, good amount of people enjoying themselves too, but will you have that ability? Or are you just going to be running around and maybe you won't necessarily enjoy until it's over?
I'll probably take it in at one point. I'll just look around like I did the last time. I'll be running around with a chicken with his head cut off. You guys will be there. You'll see me.
Oh, there's Tommy. There he goes.
Yeah.
Huh?
We'll be like, oh, there's Tommy. There he goes.
Yeah. I had the pleasure.
You'll see me running around like crazy, but I'll look like I'm miserable and hating my life, but inside I'll be loving every second of it. Yeah. But I'll make sure to stop by your table and say hello to you guys. And I'm excited you guys are going to be there. It's your first experience, and hope that you enjoy it. And I hope everyone else out there enjoys it. But yeah, man, I'll definitely stop and smell the roses for a second. Yeah. When I was younger, I never did. I appreciate it now more than I did when I was younger, because now I look at it as you know, all those shows I ran throughout the years in the past, like, I never wanted to, like, take a picture with anyone just because I felt like, oh, man, I don't want anyone to think I'm a mark taking a picture with people. Like, so all these years of memories I don't have because I never took a picture with anyone. But, I mean, it's different now. I'm older and wiser, and I enjoy the experience now, and I'll definitely be taking some pictures and cherishing the moments. Absolutely.
Well, that's all right. You're making up for lost time. Yeah. Definitely understandable.
Yeah. And
Maybe I'll take a picture with you guys.
Definitely. Yeah, there you go. I got a chance to have a beer with Tommy one day. Great experience and really good dude. And definitely go support him because, you know, it's going to be a great experience. And, he busts his ass, man. And why wouldn't I want to support a guy that does that for the fans and stuff like that? So, yeah, Tommy, looking forward to it, my man.
I'm excited. And, I'm already there.
Yeah, and listen, can't wait to talk again in the future and collaborate on some stuff, man. All right?
All right, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. And thanks for getting the word out about the con, and I look forward to seeing you boys next Saturday in Freehold.
All right, take care, man.
All right, brother.
All right, Trendsetter, once again, 80s Wrestling Con 2 this Saturday in Freehold, New Jersey. I Play America. Looking forward to it, man. Can't wait.
It's exciting. I mean, you heard about it during the interview, guys. Tommy is somebody who, you know, and it seems to be a pattern, Jeff, or sometimes we talk to a promoter, more generally a promoter, that they're like, I'm never doing this again, and they end up doing it again just because the thrill of the end result is so much more worth the stresses that go through. And he's doing it all himself, guys. He's literally doing it all himself. He's tying up his belt and putting up his bootstraps and really going in, working hard to promote this event. We're so happy to help promote it with him, to be a part of it as well. We're very honored to be a part of it. And you just notice the one thing that we've been consistent at. We haven't been consistent weekly with every episode because Jeff and I have other obligations. Not saying we don't love you guys, but sometimes that interferes. Not that we don't want to put an episode out every week, but the one consistent thing that we have gotten every single time we've been on doing this show, High Spot Podcast, is you guys, the crew. But of course, every single guest we've had the privilege of having on the show has shown one thing in general: passion. They love what they do, they're passionate about it, and you can tell it through the interview, you can tell it through the voice of the guest, and that actually motivates me too, because there are certain individuals that are doing things that they love, and they're happy about it. I mean, last week was Marty Elias, and we talked about him, and how great he was feeling now in terms of life and doing things he enjoyed. Tommy obviously enjoys what he does, although it's hectic schedule, hectic life, a thankless job. But the end result, he's happy with the end result, which hopefully we'll see on Saturday.
Now, Marty said he played this episode for Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts real quick on Chris Jericho or Shawn Michaels to listening to anything we've ever done?
It'd be a huge honor, because to me, what better critics to listen to, especially, you know, no offense to Sean, but especially with Chris Jericho. Look at everything he's done with Talking to Jericho. And I know, guys, I'm not kissing Jericho's ass here, because I do that enough. Oh, stop it, Jeff.
No, that was me kissing Jericho's ass.
Okay. But, you know, what better way from somebody who wanted to do this as a typical, just wanted to speak to his friends and talk, to the format he's taken it, to how he's done now the Jericho Network, all the work he's done now. He eventually, no doubt in my mind, Jericho will be one of the highest rated podcasts where everybody wants to do a show. It's not just about wrestling.
Oh, it's there.
When he listens, yeah. I know, but it's still evolving to that point where now every single person wants to be on. It'll be part of media relations where if you're a star in Hollywood, you have to do Talk is Jericho. It's no question about it. And he can pick and choose. But ultimately, to have Chris Jericho listen to it, for Marty to be so kind to play for him, and even any positives or even negatives he could say would definitely help us out. You know why? Because we're just trying to get better. And if we got the thumbs up from Jericho saying, hey, pretty good job, that's awesome. That means we're on the right track, and that means we have something here, which I feel, ever since we started this, I felt we had something, and we shared it with the crew, and to see members of the crew meet us at conventions or meet us when we go to the certain events, whether it be AEW or WrestleMania or SummerSlam, wherever the case might be, to recognize us, to say they enjoy listening to the show, that is a huge honor. You guys, there are no words in the English dictionary that can describe the amount of gratitude Jeff and I feel when we hear that, because we're like, at least someone's listening to it. At least someone's enjoying it. Because the podcast that we listen to, we can't even imagine people listening to ours for an hour and us rambling on and them enjoying it too. So it means a lot. And if Jericho liked it and Shawn Michaels liked it, those are two of my favorite idols right there. That's two out of three right there. If Bret Hart liked it as well, it'd be, oh my God, it's amazing. And so, yeah, I'm very, very humbled by that.
So, thanks to Tommy Fierro, it's 80s Wrestling Con 2 this Saturday. I Play America. 80swrestlingcon.com is the website. Go to wrestlingcon2.eventbrite.com for tickets. And you will see stuff like 80s Costume Party with the Million Dollar Man, 80s Tag Team Panel with Demolition and the Killer Bees, Barbershop with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Yes, he will be giving you a haircut. Ooh. 80s Wrestling Trivia Contests with figurines as well available there. Pro Wrestling Spotlight Live with Bob Backlund. Sergeant Slaughter Push-Up Challenge, which I'm going to dare the trendsetter to do. And 80s Wrestling Karaoke, Wrestling Themes of the 80s. Get your get your voices clear for that. And Enzo Amore will be a special guest at 80s Wrestling Con 2. What does he have to do with the 80s? Well, maybe he was born in the 80s, so there you go.
There you go. There's the relation right there.
All right, Trendsetter. So before we're done here, I want to play Take It or Leave It here with the Trendsetter. So once in a while, we're going to do a Take It or Leave It segment, whether you want to take what this person says seriously or leave it as just is. So Trendsetter, Seth Rollins, again, you mentioned at the top of the show, was at a Houston fan convention, and it was a Q&A. And of course, Seth has been known to kind of light the fire a little bit, kind of burn it down when it comes to some stuff he says on AEW, on current independent wrestling. And so he was asked that inevitable question, what if one day we get Kenny Omega versus Seth Rollins?
Where do you think would be the most, how can I put it, or what would be the most significant match for you to finally define who is the best between you and him at WrestleMania, in the main event?
Well, it sounds like you set the match up yourself right now. So look, when Kenny's done playing in the minor leagues over there, he can Kenny can come and work at the absolute top professional wrestling company in the world in front of the most people and make the most money and have the biggest matches, which is with me at WrestleMania.
Thank you.
All right, Trendsetter. So that guy, kudos to him, man. He's trying to play matchmaker for Mania. He's a booker. He wants to be a booker.
Aren't we all bookers to an extent, basically?
I think we all are.
I think we're all bookers, honestly. But yeah,
he's crazy in a wrestling fan. So, Trendsetter, take it or leave it, Seth Rollins' comments about Kenny Omega. Are you going to take it for what it's worth and criticize Seth? Or are you going to leave it and say, leave it just as it is because, you know, it's a Q&A?
I'll leave it as it is, not because it's a Q&A. I'll leave it as it is because it's been proven since day one, Jeff, whether it's been Cody, whether it's been Kenny, whether it's been the Young Bucks, whether it's been, you know, Tony Khan or whatever the case might be, this isn't a competition for them. This isn't a war. The mere fact that we're having more people on WWE, you know, from the WWE roster or on WWE television mention AEW, talking about them. Now, there's been conspiracies that, you know, they're all collectively working together. If it is, genius. But I really feel that Kenny says his comments when they ask him an opinion, but he doesn't go out of his way to do it on social media and Twitter. And I think just the mere fact that the WWE seems to focus more of their attention on AEW and trying to kind of shut them down or, in my opinion, kill their momentum a little bit, just shows me that, not that they're concerned and worried about them, but they know that they're there. If they didn't pay them any attention or kind of mocked it by saying, well, what are you talking about? Who's Kenny Omega? That would be more of a shot to Kenny. This is more of just like, you know, you could tell Seth wants it. He wants to have a match with Kenny Omega. I want to see a Kenny AJ Styles match at WrestleMania. That would be my dream match to watch. But ultimately, I don't think it's ever going to happen. And the reason why is not just because now Kenny Omega is a vice president of AEW, but I think even prior to that, there probably were initial desires to go to WWE and to say, you know, I can check that off my box. But I honestly feel very strong on this. I think a guy like Kenny Omega, a Cody or the Young Bucks now, or a Marty Scurll or a Hangman are completely fine and content. Or I can only speak for Kenny on this point because we never know what's going to happen with those guys. But at this stage in Kenny's career, I think he's 100% content that if he never goes to WWE, that's fine. Because he's more willing, and I think takes more pride of making his life work, his art form, outside of WWE because he's had the ability to be creative. If he never wrestles in WWE, I know, and myself internally has been a fan, oh, I want to see him at WrestleMania. But I've seen so many times again, Jeff, time and time again, I've seen people that we've wanted so badly be part of WWE programming, and they're there, and the initial excitement's there, and what ends up happening? You're like, what the hell? The momentum they had, and they threw it away. They ruined it for us. And it's always been the idea that, you know, this isn't Vince's creation, so he's going to tease you a little bit and then completely destroy it. I don't want that to happen to a Kenny Omega. It's happened to Finn Balor. It's happened to Kevin Owens. It's happened to Sami Zayn. It's happened to Shinsuke Nakamura. It's happened to Asuka. And that's just to name a few guys. It's happened to Pac.
Even the Hardys coming back at Mania, right?
Yeah, and then they're just a novelty act. And then it doesn't work that way. So I'd be 100% content that that match, and
never
Seth
happened.
Rollins wants it, never happens. So you know what? I'm going to leave it. It means nothing to me. It's Seth Rollins spewing his own emotions, which is fine. He's entitled to his opinion, but nothing's going to come of it because Kenny's completely content, and Seth should be completely content with what he's doing.
And what would you say to JR, who takes it personally and says to Seth, he's actually angered by the comments, and says that maybe you should try to worry about being as over as your girlfriend?
Well, hey, he's entitled to his opinion. I think it's a funny remark. I think JR is taking it a little too personally because, again, this isn't the first time Seth's come out and said stuff like this. He insulted Will Ospreay, too. And, you know, Will Ospreay is like, hey, I'm just making a comment here, and you're attacking it. Later on, Seth apologized. But it's more, I don't think Seth does it in the sense he feels they are a threat, because they shouldn't be. They're not a threat. WWE is the machine right now. They're going to be a top for several, even a decades from now. But my thing is, they don't have the momentum they once had in terms of the fan interaction. The fans are turning on them. So might be a little frustration. I don't know if it's frustration with the inner creative or just frustration of where he currently is. I mean, he should be happy. He's the champion right now. So he has nothing, in my opinion, to complain about, despite the crowd reaction that he gets now from time to time. And for JR, honestly, I think there's no point in bringing it up, too. So I think JR is more taking it from a personal standpoint rather than from a business standpoint. Because at the end of the day, JR, isn't it great that they're just talking about you? So why do you need to fire back when, you know what, they're doing all the work for you, basically. Mm-hmm. But it's true what he said, though. I mean, Becky's more over right now than Seth in terms of the crowd wanting to see Becky more. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, too, and, you know, I'm not here to pour water on the fire of the Becky Lynch momentum. But the Becky Lynch momentum prior to WrestleMania, the main event, till now, has kind of died itself down.
You know what? I thought so too, but she's got a lot of backers, man. A lot of backers there. WWE.
Because they see money in terms of this whole women's revolution, women's movement, which is great, by the way. It's awesome. But at the same time, if you're saying she's the one that's going to sell tickets and she's the one that's doing it, yeah, she's doing it currently now. Mm. But at the same time, right place, right time, which is what you always want in life and what you always want in an opportunity when it comes to entertainment, Becky's doing a great job. But if this was Charlotte and she was gaining that same momentum, I think the WWE would be behind Charlotte. If this was, you know, Carmella, you know, they'd be behind Carmella. If this was Sasha Banks, they'd be right behind Sasha Banks. So the mere fact that the machine's behind her doesn't indicate to me that it's anything more than, hey, they want to ride this tidal wave of momentum.
And
there's a statistic that went out that the women weren't on Raw last week ratings were actually higher than they were when you saw Becky and Sasha and Bayley and all those people, too. So, you know,
there's always going to be two sides of it, right? Yeah. And I didn't want to get it to be about Becky Lynch here in women's wrestling, but just like the whole Kofi run, you know, the lead up was great. It was a feel good story. Yeah. But then after that, though, you know,
they didn't do anything with it.
No, same thing with women's wrestling. I am happy that they're getting their chances. Yeah. I'm happy for everything that they've done. But can you build momentum year in and year out on women's wrestling? I don't know. Same thing like intergender wrestling. Okay, that's great, but can you gain momentum year in and year out? Is it just a fad? Is it something that people want to get behind because of the times, but nothing that's going to lead to like more interest down the road? Not just 1 year, not just 6 months, but 2, 3, you know, and so on and so on. Yeah. So that's what I wonder about it, but I will leave it because of the fact that it's a Q&A. What do you want him to say? Do you want him not to rile up some people that are there because they paid their hard-earned money to see Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, which I'm pretty sure was not cheap, and they're there, and what do you want him to say? Do you want to give, like, the, well, if it ever happened, you know, whatever, it'd be cool. It's Seth Rollins. He's got a persona. he's been known to kind of say some things that are, you know, get some controversy. And I think that's just a tongue-in-cheek answer. I don't think there's no malice towards it. People take it as Seth, you know, bringing down AEW. But like you said, though, wouldn't you want WWE mentioning AEW? It can only benefit them. And again, though, I think he respects the hell out of Kenny. But even if he did believe that, so what? It's his opinion. If he thinks that they are the minor leagues,
yeah.
If he's being tongue-in-cheek, then you know what? It's his damn opinion. It's not like he's tearing down Ospreay, where that I was against. Mm-hmm. And he was tearing down indie wrestling, and he was saying how like WWE continues to be this and that. Because,
which is funny, he's tearing down indie wrestling, yet he came from indie wrestling and became the star he is now.
Well, now he's... Exactly, but now he's defending the machine, and it's very hard for people to take that side because it seems like it's kind of like forced his leadership, you know?
Here's the thing I feel with Seth Rollins real quick, and I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.
But fine. The mere fact, I think the anyway. Resentment he's getting, I feel, has to do with the fact of what you just mentioned. The mere fact that now he's so behind the machine, when he himself was right, you know, there in the thick of things in the indie promotions, he was the Ring of Honors, he was in the, he wanted, you know, wanted to do the New Japan stuff and stuff like that, to get to this point in his life where he wanted to work for WWE. Now he's there. So the mere fact that now he's kind of, in a way,
the anti indie wrestling is.
The anti indie wrestling, but speaking it more in a derogatory way, when, dude, this is what you did that got you to where you are. So why now you're bashing it? Because there are individuals that are very talented that aren't signed with WWE that are just as talented as the roster you have right now. So why are you bashing them? There's no point in doing it, because at the end of the day, what's this all supposed to be about, guys? What's this podcast supposed to be about? It's about the evolution of the industry, it going forward and going better. I mean, this isn't WCW versus WWE anymore. You're not trying to put the company out of business. And you spoke about it before a couple weeks ago, Jeff. The mere fact that you want to put a company out of business doesn't help the industry at all, because it hurts other people that cannot hone their craft and get better. The mere fact that we all theoretically should be collectively helping each other out. WWE, why don't they talk about New Japan? Why shouldn't they mention Ring of Honor? Helps them out a little bit, and at the end of the day, it helps out the industry, because if they become huge stars in those companies and then become available, they could be even bigger stars in WWE. So it constantly keeps rotating in this huge circle. So why would you want to ruin it? So I think that's the resentment that Seth is getting. And then the mere fact that when you see his character on TV, which I've spoken about time and time again, he's fallen under the whole Roman Reigns, John Cena situation where, like, it's not that he's not talented. Nobody said – I never said once that John Cena was not a talented performer. Performer. I wouldn't say wrestler. Roman Reigns, same thing. Performer. Seth Rollins is a great performer and wrestler as well, but the thing is, because the machine is backing him so much, you instantly get from the audience that resentment. And now, more importantly, not only the resentment that the machine's behind you now, like, oh, listen, this isn't the Seth Rollins that we, the fans, quote-unquote, want, but now you're bashing everything that you stood for in a sense. I mean, that's my take of taking. You're bashing now all the people calling them the minor leagues. Why? Why are you doing that? You should be not bigger than that. But if you feel like those are not competitions or not worth discussing, then don't talk about it. Because you know what? You should be promoting that. Now,
and
in fairness to the question,
Q&A, and don't you think the fan deserves that kind of response? Because why would you ask that question and then expect, well, hopefully one day we can, you know, come together and that would be a great match and I hope that we do it one day. How shitty would that be if you're there and you're like, oh, okay, you know?
Yeah, or if he said, you know, he's currently not in the promotion, but I think when he decides to come to the best promotion in the world, which is WWE, it's fine. But the mere fact he said the minor leagues, it's like, okay, dude, come on. Now you're just being, you know, in a sense, it sounds bitter in a way. Not that he's being
Smug. I think, like, better than you kind of thing, a little bit like that. Okay. Which, like I said, though, he's entitled. If you're proud, like,
that's one man's opinion.
I'm proud to do this podcast with you, okay? There could be other podcasts that have more listeners, more subscribers, more followers. But when I listen to them, they're not going to compare shit to what we do. And that's because I'm proud of what we do. I think our content is above and beyond what anyone puts out there or equal to. I'm not going to go out there and be like, well, you know. So, and if someone called me minor league, I would be offended to it because I think that we put just as much stuff in there, but they're entitled to their opinion. Just like I'm entitled to think that we're a high echelon podcast.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't care about it. You know why? Because even somebody had the opinion and said, oh, Brian, you guys are a minor league podcast. You guys are just so, like, you know, apples and oranges compared to, fine, that's your opinion, whatever. Yeah. I know since day one that I mentioned on this podcast before that I feel we had something. We're different. We are not trying to compare ourselves to the podcast. We're not bashing promotions. We're not being mad and frustrated, although we are frustrated with certain storylines that are going on. We're trying to collectively, the whole main point that I've always tried to do is with you here, is collectively try to dissect what the mindset and the process is behind it. How can it be worked out the way they want to do it? And how can it be done better? And just for the all-around better ability of the product, whether we're talking about WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact, whatever the case might be, it's about the collective good of the industry and just the excitement it is to be a fan and the different types of scenarios that could possibly happen. And that's it. We're not here to bash things. Yeah, we're not here to call people out. That's not the point of what we're doing.
We're trying to start discussion. We're trying to, you know, have people come out here and give your side of the opinion, whether we agree or not. The trendsetter and I tend to kind of maybe agree, maybe way too much sometimes. Or try to change each other's minds, but that's fine. We're not gonna sit here and make fart sounds on a computer. We're not gonna curse every second here because that's not what we do here. We're trying to give you.
I mean, we could curse.
We could, and we could, you know, find some sounds and some belching and some farting and calling people MFers and all that kind of stuff.
But then we wouldn't be that kind of show. We lose our identity.
Yeah, and you know. We're not going to do that. So, you know, again, though, and boy, did this topic really turn out to be something cool to discuss here as we draw to a close here on the show. But, man, like, yeah, I'm going to leave it, Trendsetter, because it's tongue-in-cheek. He's done this before. Yeah. And it's just the wrestling fans on social media that want to get on there and they want to give their point of view and they want to bash it where, you know what, you're entitled to. But you know what, though? I just take it as tongue-in-cheek. And JR, you know... You should try to defend your company, but again, though, I just take it as something that you should just let it roll off your back, and that's our two cents on it, man.
I feel for JR, because there are certain times, and I'll be the first one to admit sometimes, I don't know when to pick my battles. You know, I get very
emotional. I get emotional
about stuff, too, but it comes to the point where it's like, okay, they're attacking it. You can't fight every single battle, especially with the likes of social media and other people's opinions, so it's just like, worry about doing your thing. Because AEW is doing good, and they're in that momentum right now. They're going to have their pay-per-view full gear pretty soon in Baltimore on November 9th. So it's like, let's just focus on us. Because at the end of the day, when you start focusing and worrying about what other people do, you start losing yourself just to the point you were making, too. If we start, you know, creating fart sounds and start cursing up a storm and trying to act like, if I was trying to act like the host of, like, Chris Jericho, or trying to act like any popular podcast out there, like Tony Schiavone or Eric Bischoff or Bruce Pritchard's podcast, then we'd lose our identity because we're just copying something rather than being ourselves. And so that's the point that I was trying to make, too, is that, you know, it is what it is. Leave it, because at the end of the day, he's entitled to what he thinks. If he thinks that's what it is, it's the way it is. But the mere fact that when you start bashing the way in which you were brought up to get to where you are now you're kind of just being counterproductive, in my opinion. That was the case.
Yeah, and I know JR last week defended himself because someone told him that he lost his fastball, he's not trying anymore, and that's more of a personal shot, you know what I mean? That's on your performance. Yeah. And if he wants to defend that, you know, do that, because that's a shot on you. I get that he's defending the company. I get it. But again, though, it's just tongue-in-cheek, the things Seth Rollins did. And, you know, stuff like this gains controversy, gains momentum. And when you record it and you put it out there, anyone can interpret it the way they want to.
Yes, they can. And so, guys, that concludes another episode here of the High Spot Podcast. Again, there's so much more we can dive into, but that will have to wait till next week.
Crown Jewel!
Crown Jewel will be discussing as well, and also breaking down the events of Raw, AEW, last week's SmackDown Live. And, you know, the closer we're getting to full gear for AEW as well, we'll be talking about it as well. We'll also be including what happened for us when we went to the convention on Saturday and all the, you know, people
and
we were
talking
to.
And what happened to your convention during the week, too. We'll talk about it as well.
That as well, going to Exotica, guys. As well,
I've got a recommendation for you, Trendsetter.
Okay, what's the recommendation?
There are a lot of videos that I recall that you did in Vegas. Okay, and
I know
time and life takes priority.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking that you do best of interviews of 2019, and you put those out November into December, and you can lead into, and those are the best of the trendsetters in 2019.
Yeah, I could do that. Do I have time to do it? We'll find out.
We'll see. But that's just a suggestion there, though. But again, though, I want to hear about your trip to Exotica. I'm pretty sure there'll be some crazy stories there, too.
That'd be nice. Because it's reached this point right now where I've developed good camaraderie with certain people there. So it's kind of like, hey, what's going on? So it's going to be nice than being, you know, there for the first time.
Are you dressing up? Are you going in? Will be the trendsetter? Will you be Brian?
Well,
what are you
let's be honest, Jeff. Whether I wake up in a t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops or I'm in a nice shirt and tie, three-piece suit, I'll always be the trendsetter.
It gets hot over there, though.
But yes, you know now. The weather. Yes,
you know now that place gets hot in there.
It does. And so a lot of it will depend on the weather. I'll still try to look stylish, but at the same time, it's more about being professional, the way I present myself, and the way you dress also adheres to it. So whether I wear a shirt and tie or whether I wear a regular t-shirt and some jeans or some nice dress pants and slacks, we'll see, but it all depends on it. But regardless of the fact, I am pretty sure – no, I can guarantee, Jeff, that nobody will be looking at me doing these interviews. Everybody will be looking at wonderful – exactly. A lot of people will be looking at the wonderful guests, to my point, that I will be having on. Hopefully some past people, some past interviews they've had in the past will come and rejoin me. Who knows? We've been trying to work on that in terms of scheduling. It's always chaotic around this time of year, and especially leading up to who knows if I will do ABN again. I know I've said that before, and I really do mean it, though, because you never know if the popularity is there. But it'll be nice to see a couple old people, old friends there and old acquaintances to say hello to. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that trendsetter next week. Again, preview Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia, and then we'll talk about the trendsetter's adventures.
It's going to be quite a weekend, guys.
Halloween, too. Halloween.
And it'll be a crazy weekend, and you guys will share that with us, the High Spot Podcast and the Jersey Record.
And Future Legend will join us, too, talking about his apparel brand. He will join us, and that is a great conversation that you guys got to listen to about his future apparel brand.
Yes, it will. It'll be exciting for next week. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. Remember, you guys can catch us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook going to @HighSpotPodcast. Also, make sure you follow us on our website for all our shenanigans at HighSpotPodcast.com. We're also part of BodySlam.net. We're also part of iTunes. We're also part of Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating review. You can also listen to us on Speaker. You can listen to us on iHeart and the Shining Wizards Network. And also, you can catch all our content from the convention for all the videos that we do on our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast. And you can catch my miniseries, Adventures with the Trendsetter, there as well. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week for the Jersey Right Crew. I must bid you all adieu. Remember, we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you,
the crew.